callers are muted. This conference is being recorded.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the Royal Priesthood Nation tonight. It's the day before Halloween. Your host tonight is Dr. Khalif Zefnef Pahania L. And we also have our special guest that comes on with us quite frequently, Dr. Delbert Blair, and your co-host, Aladia. And we're happy to have you here. Dr. Khalif, are you with us? You may not have joined us yet. Okay. Dr. Blair, are you with us? Well, I guess it's Aladia here, which is okay.
I'm here. I'm here.
There you are. Good evening, Dr. Khalif.
I'm on the line. Did our music play? Did our music play yet? Is DT there?
Yes. Yes, our music play. Mm-hmm.
It played. DT, are you there?
No, DT's not here tonight.
Oh, she's not. Okay, I thought she was on the line. All right. Well, we're glad to have everyone. Welcome again to another Thursday night, and you're in the Royal Priesthood Nation Bible Prayer and Fellowship Line Room. And we are thankful. We're just delighted that you've come tonight to share with us, those of you who are online. I was looking at the console a moment ago, and I saw 14 people come in on one call and 13 on another call. And I said, oh, my goodness, I don't know how that's happening. I'm not technology savvy and don't know exactly how that's going on, but we do thank you and everyone who's listening tonight. We wanted to have Jordan Maxwell. Unfortunately, he is in litigation in some battle with the situation, and he needs much light, much love, and he needs much peace sent in his direction. Last week, we were fortunate to have him, and Dr. Blair talk to us a little bit about the history of the church. And we wanted to continue some of that discussion. Of course, Dr. Blair did something, I believe, on Saturday and Tuesday on Halloween. And hopefully he had said he would be on tonight, and we may get a chance to cover just a little bit of that. But what I wanted to do tonight is I want to give everyone an opportunity to come into the queue rather than me starting out talking and telling you what's on my mind. I think it'd be a good idea and a good notion to allow you an opportunity to say what's on your mind. Now, I did want to say this. I want to throw out a question, and I'd like for the responses to come in from the audience with their comments or questions as it relates to what I'm about to say. And the question I want to raise is one that has to do with culture. Culture. Can religion and politics be separated inside of a culture? And that's the question I want to raise tonight. And I'd like for those of you who would like to give your expertise, and I know we have some wise people out there. I know we have some people that have a lot of information. So I'm going to say that is a question I want you to think about just for a moment. And I'm glad to have my nephew on the line with me. He's 22 years old, and he lives here in Mississippi, and he has been studying with me along with his brother, who's also 22 years old. They were born just a few months apart. Being fruitful and multiply was part of their father's and mother's mantra. They didn't waste any time. So they're both 22 years old, and his name is Robert, and he's calling from a 662 area code. And I don't know exactly how to tell him, Midwest, how to raise his hand in the audience because I'm not familiar with this free conferencing
Sir, he's unmuted.
You have it?
Hi.
Hey,
hi,
how y'all doing? You doing all right?
Y'all doing pretty good.
All right. I'm so glad to have you. And, you know, you have raised some questions and gave some insight of some of the things that we have been discussing and we've been talking and some of the things that you had learned. And you called me, I believe it was, now it was 2 weeks ago, concerning Horus of Egypt. And you want to state for the people that are listening, you want to talk a little bit about your question and your answers and what you've discovered?
Yes. I pretty much discovered that Jesus basically came from Horus. Like, if you look at the similarities between Jesus and Horus, it seems like Christianity came from Egyptian religion. Like, one similarity I have is both Jesus and Horus was born of a virgin mother. And another one is that Horus was buried in a tomb at Amnu, and Jesus was buried in a tomb located at Beth Amnu. It sounds pretty the same to me, though.
Yeah, it sounds pretty much the same to me. Those two points that you brought out, were there any other parallels in the story between Horus and the story of Jesus? Are there any other similarities or parallels there that you noticed?
Yeah, it's plenty of them.
Plenty of them, okay.
Yeah.
So now, Robert, which story is older?
A horse? Horus, 3000 B.C.
Whoa, you know the date. You know what? One of my teachers, Dr. Walter Williams, says that when you have the fact, you have date, time, places, and people. When you have the fact, that settles the argument. If you have dates, time, places, and people, and you just located a date of Horus with 2000 B.C., which is 2,000 years before the story of, even before the book that we call the Bible was written.
Yes.
And so are you telling me that before this book that we have, that we call the Bible was written, there's a story of a virgin birth and a man that was buried in a tomb for 3 days and three nights?
Yes, sir.
And where was this story again, Robert?
It was 3,000 B.C. before the Bible, Jesus supposed to be tamed. And then I learned something else, too. Like, most of the great writers that at the time Jesus supposed to be here, most of the great writers have no information about him. So if he supposed to be walking around and doing all these healings and all that, he's supposed to be written by these famous writers. But there's no information about him, though.
He's supposed to be what now? Repeat that one more time. I didn't quite get it.
Like, I looked up. I can't pronounce their names of the writers, but it shows that during the time Jesus was supposed to be here, there was a lot of famous writers out during the same time. So if he was walking and doing all these miracles, he's supposed to be at least written, or they're supposed to have some information about him.
Okay, so it would have been recorded because there were a lot of famous writers during the time that he was supposed to have been here.
He's supposed to have been here, yes, sir. So, I mean, like, I don't know. No, it's a lot of questions raised up my eye.
It's a lot of what now?
It's a lot of questions that came up.
Well, like, there are some other parallels that I read, too. Now, you told us that Horus was in Egypt in 3000 B.C. This story was told. That's even before the Old Testament Torah, what we call the Torah, was written because Moses wasn't born. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Moses, according to the timeline, was born in the Middle Kingdom of Egypt, somewhere around, 1400 B.C. So we're going back even 1,600 years prior to the birth of Moses. So there was no Bible. There was no Torah. There was no written record. And you're telling me that Horus and his story, born of a virgin, he was baptized by Anu. He had 12 followers.
Yes,
if I understand, if I misquote some of the information you gave me, you stop me, okay, because I don't want to say something that's not true.
Yes,
and
sir.
So Horus had 12 followers. He worked miracles. He was crucified, or well, he was baptized by Anu. Anu was beheaded. He was crucified, was buried. He rose on the third day. Am I doing okay so far, Robert?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. And then he was called the Way, the Truth, the Light, the Good Shepherd.
Right? He was the Lamb of the God.
He was called
the Lamb, too.
He was called the Lamb. Oh, all right. Thank you. He was called the Lamb, too. Okay. So all of these things that Horus was called, 3,000 years later, we have another person by the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The same things are happening to him. But this story is coming out of Egypt.
Yes, sir. And then it's more like India have a god. I can't pronounce the name right there. Keith, Kaiser, and he was written 900 BC, and he had the same attributes.
Who is that? Huh? Say that again.
In India, they worship this god. I can't pronounce the name right. It's probably Krishna.
You're talking about Krishna?
Yes. Yes. And Krishna had the same attributes.
So it looks like that India and Hinduism took the story out of Egypt.
Yes.
And they had the same story going on.
Yes.
With Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Is that what you're telling me, Robert?
Yes, sir.
Well, man, I tell you what. I'm going to do a little bit better and research a little bit more and find out. Now, you said that's 900 years B.C.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Wow. And this story is recorded. So it looks like what we have is a parallel between two stories that are older than the story we have in our Bible. And the Bible lines up perfectly. Now, I'd like to entertain tonight. You heard Robert. He's 22 years old. He's here in Mississippi. He's studious. He's a studier. He's getting information. He's pushing. I told a preacher, a friend of mine, a colleague, the other day, that some of the things that we used to say, we can't say it anymore because these children can push buttons and have instant information. And they are getting different information than what I got when I was a kid and when I was 22 years old. The information that this young man at 22 years of age, I was 22 years old when my first son was born. And I couldn't get the information that my nephew just gave. I was enrolled in Bay City Bible College in the 70s, 1978 and 79. And I took systematic theology and Johanna Litt. And I took a lot of courses, church history, by the way. But nothing in those courses taught me or gave me any of the information that I'm listening to now. I don't know why that information was suppressed. I don't know why I didn't know about it. I don't know why they didn't teach us this, but they did not. But our new generation now, at the touch of their fingertips, can be in the British Museum. They can be in the great libraries of the world, reading books, getting information, and some of the information that they're getting is not the information that my generation received. Now, I want to open up the queue, if you can, and we're going to entertain that, plus hopefully Dr. Blair will come on, and he can talk to us about Halloween But I want to entertain the question that I raised. Can religion and politics inside of a culture, which culture consists of a belief and value system where you just about everything goes on, I mean, your politics, your social normatives and mores of society, your beliefs and values about family and, what, in other words, how relationships should work, government, politics, how you dress, what kind of music you listen to, what kind of food you eat, even your language, and all of this is all inside of culture. And so my question tonight is, can religion and culture, and politics be separated inside of a culture and that culture remain intact? And hopefully, if that's not a clear question, I may be able to make it even clearer for those of you who may not have understood my question. So I want to open up the board tonight and see if we can get some takers on that question, plus even comment on what my nephew has just shared with us. Are there any callers in the audience? It's your time now. Let's hear from you.
Q&A session started.
Feel free to come right in. And those of you who are in the radio audience, Midwest, since you're there, would you give them the number so that they can call in if they're listening? Those that are listening by way of radio, PBS radio, if you'd like to call in, listen carefully, get a pen out, get a piece of paper, write this number down, and you may also call in and participate in this discussion that we're having tonight. So that number is, would you give that number, Midwest, 712?
Sure, I'd be happy to. It's 712-775-7085. And the pen code is 568-7085.
Anyone in the queue? Or?
Yes, we have a couple in the queue now.
All right, come on. Let's see. Let's see who we have.
215, your mic is open.
Hetepu, Honorable Royal High Priest, Brother Khalif, and all of the Royal Priesthood. I am Angel Lady Love, Angela Del Philly, Lady Truth Oracle BB, I am. And I think, what is your nephew's name?
He was talking about the parallels that he lined down between Horus of Egypt and Jesus of the Bible. That the stories are similar, but the story of Horus is 3,000 years older.
Okay, I can't give the coordinates of the dates and times. Nonetheless, in Egypt, you were speaking of Asar, Aset, Heru. The Greeks called Aset Isis. Asar, her husband, they call him Osiris. And the Greeks call Heru Horus. So there's no Horus out of Egypt, A number one. A number two, it is about remembering Asar was dismembered by his brother. And his wife, Aset, remembered him through the efforts of and help of Tahuti, who is known as the scribe, and I think the Greeks may call him Thoth. And she did find his penis, so I don't think there was a virgin birth if one can find a penis and there was semen there. Also, with my highest commander, it clearly says in Luke chapter 1:28, that the Archangel Gabriel came in unto her in the new, or if you will, Old King James Version, Luke chapter 1:28. The correlation is in Genesis chapter 6. I always start with verse 4. But the sons of God, the key phrase is, came in unto the women. And it tells you there the definition of what happened. They not only took them as wives, but they gave them, they birthed the children of these sons of God. Jesus is known as the Son of God. So the virgin birth, to a degree, yes, Miriam was betrothed to Joseph, Saint Joseph for that matter, and he had not had any relationship with her, but yet she wound up pregnant. He knew of the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9. I can't say the verse right now because this is off the top of my head. And Isaiah chapter 9. The bottom line is that's why, and with the fact of the Honorable Archangel Gabriel came in a dream to him, and he did not put Miriam to death or stone her as he could have. And through him, he was born, my highest commander was born in Bethlehem by reason of his adopted daddy, Beth meaning the house of, Lehem means bread. And I can go into more details.
May I interrupt you for just a second? This is Midwest. Do you have a question or anything that you'd like to ask Dr. Khalif?
I was saying to the fact the young man pointed out that Horus was from Egypt, and that is not a truth. The name correlation, the Greek stole, as they did so many of our works, and it is on the walls. We do have paintings with this very depiction of the remembering of Osar's body parts.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get more details. And if you want, there are people that have studied this in more depth. They are the Osar-Osset Society. And I bow before you again, but that's the truth. I'm about truth. So therefore, the young man, since he has internet, he may want to study further. Thank you for listening.
All right, hon, I was just saying we're on limited time here when we're on the BBS radio side. After this hour, which is now down to 30 minutes, then you're certainly welcome to come in.
Thank you, Angel Lady, for insight and additional perspective on the discussion. Your comments, as usual, are real well received, and you have seasoned it with much knowledge, wisdom, and grace. And again, we say peace and love, and thank you so very, very much for your comments. Is there another caller in the audience?
Yeah, hello?
Sure. Hi, Dr. Blair.
How are you?
All right.
And
we're not doing too well, Dr. Blair. We're kind of scraping, waiting for you to get on the line so you can keep us in line here and intact as we skirt about the cosmos and go through the epochs of history and annals of time, annals of history, and trying to navigate our way. We can't do it without someone that's holding the helm.
Well,
are you ready for this other person in the queue, gentlemen?
All right, yes, please. There's another person in the queue. Bring him in.
Mm-hmm. 913, your mic is open.
Yeah, Midwest. This is Roger in Kansas.
Hi, Roger.
This is just a comment to kind of add to what has been talked about, the horse. This is on DT's website. And it's basically the 10 Christ-like figures who predate Jesus. And it goes, number 10 is Buddha, Krishna, Osias, Romulus, Dionysus, Hercules, Palladium. These are all kind of goes along the same. And the last one was Horus. All goes on with the virgin birth and miracles and that. But it was on DT's website. Now, this is a couple of months ago that I've got it brought up here.
You know, that's interesting because DT and I had a long conversation today, and she told me that she had placed that up there, so I was thinking that she was going to come on tonight. Something must have happened where she couldn't get on. But thank you for bringing that to our attention. Is that still up on her website or is it off?
Well, it probably would be back in updated August 8th, 2014. And this came from N5D Alternative News or N5D.com, I think it is. I know Midwest and DT kind of going, www.n5d.com is where the DT got the article from. But it goes in the translation of Yeshua into Jesus, Hebrew, Greek, Latin, and then Jesus is English. It's kind of an interesting article. resurrected Horus, of course, of Egypt was 3000 BC. It's just more information, and something to check out. Like DT said, I found this article fascinating. I've heard this before, but I haven't had time to research. And I haven't had time to research it anymore either. But it's just good. DT, it's on DT's website. And it's several months old. Well, August 8th, I guess, was updated.
Okay, well, we'll can definitely reference that. And it sounds like we all need to take a trip and a tour to Egypt and go up and down the Nile Valley along the Nile River and go into the temples and pyramids and look at some of the writings and some of the stories there that are written on the walls and written in the text. Some of these stories that we're talking about were written on stones, and they are in museums. There's a Shabaka stone that is taken. Dr. Blair could probably give you more information about that and more information. Is there anyone else? I do thank you for that observation, and that information is over there on DT's website. Of course, we know that there were 13 crucified saviors prior to the savior that we call Jesus Christ. And
let me phase in there too, if I may, there, bro. Is it all right? This is Blair.
By all means.
Yeah, of course, for the young men, your nephews, and I think it's beautiful the way you handled it, and I think it's wonderful the fact that they are 22 years old and doing what they do. I love scholarship, and I love dedication. When you see young black men doing this, there's a future for all of us again. If you remember, there's a World 16 Crucified Saviors by Kersey Graves. There's also another one, I think it was Godfrey Higgins, African Origins of the Major World Religions. And, of course, Anasakaka. That was the one also that had one that was borrowed, the different religions borrowed from Egypt, Sumer, and India. And, of course, John Jackson's Christianity Before Christ. All of these are very much there, where you had not only Zeus, but Laozi and Muhammad and Zaha and Fuhai and Quetzalcoatl. It just goes on and on and on. So once you get into that, you can always see there's been blasphemy as far as taking, again, the black Christ and being shared by all religions. So I don't want to get there. Also, I want to move from that point on, too, because I'm sure others will be. And I'm going to have to cut off at 8. That's why I'm trying to get some of this in here now. Of course, the horrible time of year is upon us again. It's the practice of giving tribute to All Hallows' Mass and All Hallows' Eve. I think it's horrible that we honor that day. But I think it's wonderful that at least we use historical findings and use some kind of common sense and some deeper studies as we look at this horrible day. I do want to give a number because on Saturday...
Before you give that number, Dr.
Blair, I'm not going to do it yet. I want to say, because on Saturday, I want to do something much different than what I've done before, and that is to give out a number where people can call in and give positive thinkings about what this holiday that they're celebrating and positive things that they can affirm to offset what usually happens on that next night, which, of course, since Halloween is Saturday night, the Feast of Samhain is next Saturday. So that's why I want to change it all around. And that's when they slaughter and sacrifice people to open up these portals. And with our sun doing what it's now, there's going to be a great battle. We could get a terrible storm here Saturday. We could get a what they would call a world event Saturday. We're on borrowed time now. And our sun is putting out so much energy, the astronomers and meteorologists don't even know what to say about it. They're lying about everything they're telling you. Because there's explosions on Mars now. We've got
Dr.
the tail
Blair,
of that comet that
Dr.
they're not
Blair,
talking
if I could,
about.
If, Dr. Blair, if I could, let me slow you down just a little bit. because, I mean, you have such a wealth of knowledge until we are kind of taking 50-league boots here. And let's slow down the pace just a little bit. I know we're on radio, and I know you said you have to go. But can you pointedly, for those that are not, you know, one of the things that I've been accused of is being too complicated and too complex. And I talk much slower than you, and you have much more information than I do. So let's slow the pace just a little bit. And let me allow me, if I may, ask you, where did Halloween come from, and what does it mean?
Oh, Hallowed Mass means to honor a mass. Mass has been used by the Christian church mainly and to celebrate what they would call a leader, a bringer, a truth giver, an original cause. They have holy mass, they have black mass. These are the kind of things, because every time something is good on this planet, and seemingly even in the cosmos, there seems to be something that's bad to have to offset it. Whether or not this means that there is a duality to the universal creator that couldn't make up his or her mind as to just be good, or whether it means as we fall away from the mind of the universal prime creator, we create negativity. I think it's the latter, because a soul must have experience. And the fact that we left the universal creator to form our own soul links means that we then had to search for more than what we had. If we had completeness, why do we search for more? That is what happens again with the other side of our body, the physical body. The morality body that was lost in the soul has now been manifested in the physical body. That's why so much attention is paid to sex. That's why now all the talk of vampirism. This is why all of this, it seems to take this negative to reinforce the positive that we never should have left. So
Halloween, the All Hallows Eve, came from where? Where did it come from?
Well, that is a Scottish type. It's three different ways. One say it came from Scotland. Others say it came from Ireland. But I think more than any of that, it came from the more or less Spain, where Spain is the one that turned back time itself with the Inquisition and began to honor all the negative forces. What is happening now is that these negative forces that have been celebrating All Hallows Eve have now been challenged with more understanding and truth. So now, instead of this whole thing being wonderful with vampires and werewolves and lizards and you name it, we're now going to see that there was another side of this. And because the other side of this did not let us worship the bad things, did not let us do the horrible things, they're now having to raise their ugly heads once more. So that's why I...
Well, also, Dr. Blair, here's a contradiction that stands out in my mind in graphic proportions. Here we have a Christian church, and many Christian churches celebrate All Hallows Eve, which is, in my mind, you correct me, is a celebration to the dead and a ritual and a ceremony that ceremonializes darkness, evil, dead, death. Mass, as I understand it, is massacre, where we get the word massacre from. You spoke of black mass. And so how does one reconcile or justify the presence of inside of a Christian church, All Hallows Eve, where churches have Halloween parties?
Because there's ignorance there. And that's the trouble. Ignorance prevails. Nobody gets to the truth. I've given you truth. The truth is that the masses themselves were brought about by the Inquisition, which had to find a way to take over the whole world and to spread, again, not only of Spain, but into a stronger thing. The black mass, and unfortunately we're not going to use this by the color of the skin, means a darker look, a lower look, a bad thing, and it calls for sacrifices. The higher creed, they say you sacrifice food, you sacrifice the wanting of meat, you sacrifice things along this line. The lower thing is you sacrifice people and eat people and all this kind of thing.
Wow.
And this is what they do on the Feast of Samhain. They're feasting to the most evil side of what would be called the Draconis. That's why they call it the Feast of Samhain. And on that Saturday, this coming Saturday, they will kill and slaughter children. They will sacrifice them to open up portals on this planet and close up other portals. And this year they're going to do it even...
Dr. Blair, as we slow you down just a little bit, because you're talking about the energies and we are living on borrowed time. I just love the way you phrase things. I mean, the way you phrase things is so lucid and so clear in my mind. But these energies that are coming, they are trying to direct these energies in a certain way by making human sacrifices to open these portals. And what is the goal? Is that the goal, to direct these energies? And if that is the goal, and if it is not, tell us what the goal of it is. And
that's what I was going to do. But again, I thank you for the compliments, but if the compliments are such that no one is understanding me, then the compliments mean that I'm not expressing myself clearly enough. Let me try once more. On November 1st, which is Saturday, after the 12 o'clock midnight celebration of Halloween, they then move to start killing children. They've kidnapped the children all year long. There are close to 1.5 million children disappear on this planet every year, and no one tells you why. They're going to try, or will sacrifice them. This year is going to be different, because if you will hear what the astronomers and the astrophysicists are saying, our sun is now putting forth energy that they have not seen here in 2,500 years. This is happening as we talk. Lava flows are going toward Hawaii. The sun is putting out more energy now. They're scared stiff. We could get a complete blackout and a power down on all of our computers and everything else in the next 72 hours, because that's what the sun is doing. It's doing this so that this time, when they start to try and sacrifice and bring things to a low ebb, they're going to be counteracted. So you're going to see a big, I'll predict you this one. Saturday, you're going to see some weather like you have not seen in I don't know when, because you're getting a clash with the highest energies coming from the sun and the lowest energies that these Dracons can put up, because they're afraid of the sun, they're afraid of dying, and the earth is trying to get rid of them. Is that clear enough?
Well, Dr. Blair, we really have to pay attention to you, because before that volcano, those volcanoes blew up, you came to us 2 weeks ahead of time and told us that it was going to happen. And then the activity. So we have to listen to you. Now, this Saturday, is this energy or this weather that we're going to get, could you give us a little bit more detail and be more specific about what are the meteorological results, or what are the consequences? What kind of things are we to look for that could happen, in your opinion?
As I said, you could get a blackout that knocks out all the power on this planet.
So that means, and so you're talking now about,
can I say,
you're,
I
talking
said,
about a, you're talking about an EMP now, correct?
A major EMP. They have never seen the kind of energy that the sun is putting forth here now. And in fact, the ancient ones, who were ignorant in some cases, would say that if that happened, everybody would be fried to a crisp. We're not being fried to a crisp. We're being awakened. This is why I wanted Saturdays for people to call in and start giving positive things that are happening, positive things that they can understand this new energy is opening to them. That's why people can feel this quickening. Now, if you don't have a soul and you worship evil, this quickening frightens you, as it well should, because it means the destruction of lower matter, destruction of just the sex drive, destruction of all the things that make you kill people, and it makes you now want to live, to open up, to give rebirth and consciousness now. We're going to have one of the biggest sun evaluations, sun strokes, sun risings that you're going to see, and it's going to be this Saturday. And that's to counteract the slaughtering and killing of these souls that they wish to do on Saturday. I would like for all of us to be part of that by coming back with affirmations of things that are good the whole time I'm on Saturday, the whole time on your Saturday. Let's work with the new sun, which is creating a new quickening, and against these things that they normally would be worshiping. That's why they celebrate the evil things, because they always want you to think of death, disintegration, and no life. I want us to think of life, reintegration, and just wonderful happiness.
What a positive message. Dr. Blair, you just said sunstroke. Now, my ears hurt that. If I think I heard you correctly, you said sunstroke. But before you address that, let me give just a brief reading before he addresses sunstroke. In the book of Joel, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Now, this is what Dr. Blair has just said about the fear that's on some of these people. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness. Uh-oh. What could cause darkness? And of gloominess. A day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong people. There had not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is the appearance of horses. As horsemen, so shall they run, like the noise of chariots upon the tops of mountains. There's that word macabre. The word chariot is macabre. Like the noise of chariots, macabre, on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire. that devoureth the stubble. A strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces gather blackness, or a word, another word for blackness is mellow.
Well, again, as you interpret it through the Bible, and I understand that you do that, and you're well, and very well at doing it. I give you that compliment all the time. I again reiterate, and I want to give a number because the people that normally, what I usually do is to tell people that to charge it and so on and so forth. We have not yet gotten our numbers together, so I can't give it out today. But if the folks will call 708-422-6685, that's 708-422-6685. They can join our conference Saturday. At that time, I want to get into the most positive affirmations that people can think of that are happening, not the bad things that are happening in their life, but the good things, and to express it on the air, and to also let them know, these evil ones, that they are worth nothing. Right now, there are rumblings, and we talked about that before, to this big volcano that we have here in the United States, Yellowstone. There's rumblings there.
Oh, wow. That's a super volcano.
These are, you'd be surprised. We could get an MPV event, I'm telling you this now, Saturday, that knocks out all the power on this planet. It would definitely take out the United States first, because the United States right now is going through a terrible change due to this election and all the lies that are being told. We're deprimating ourselves. Hawaii already has now eight towns that are now hit with lava, and they can't stop the lava. If this goes on, this means that the energy being put out by this sun is to get rid of these blank-de-blank Dracons. They cannot take sunlight. They cannot take magnetism. We've already told the magnetic poles have shifted. So that's what I'd like to do this Saturday. At this time, when they're trying to do evil, let's join these good forces. Let's join all the energy that the Creator is sending us and use that to raise our highest consciousness, heal ourselves and everybody else listening, instead of getting into all this death and witchcraft and stuff they want you to. Forget about that part. Let's make this time a time to show these blank-de-blank Dracons that they're going to lose, that their rituals are not going to work. That's why I want to get away from the rituals about that and get into the rituals we should have in the form of not only Christianity, but every religion that can speak good toward mankind and man.
We're definitely running on a timeline, and I have been putting out as much information as I can. Again, the word macabre here is in the text, and that's Joel chapter 2. I just read only six verses of the second chapter of Joel. And it talks about these people that will be able to survive this time, and not only survive, but thrive and flourish in this time that Dr. Blair is describing. And this is our hope. There are some things that we have been teaching concerning macabre activation, which we've already talked about on numerous calls. And I'm happy tonight to hear Dr. Blair talk about focusing on the good. Now, let me give you one principle. There are many principles, but I want to give you one thing that helps me to get past the matrix that we're in, and that is my dream state. I love to dream, and if you can think about walking in a dream, if you can think about dreaming above the matrix, above the fear of Ebola, the fear of economic collapse and meltdown, government shutdown, if you can think about walking beyond racism, walking beyond separatism, walking beyond fascism, walking beyond all of the negative things that are in our society, by simply dreaming and allow yourselves for a few minutes. This is just a principle. It's not by no means codified or set in stone that this is the only way, or perhaps it may work for you. Every person has to find what works for them. I'm simply sharing what works for me. I move to a dream state to walk, because right now the pressures are on many people. The beast itself is trying to pressure you with economic strangulation, trying to pressure you with societal pressures and strangulations, to put strain, stress upon relationships that exist between different people, between marriage couples, socially, societally, also economically, educationally, politically. It wants to put a lot of pressure on you. And why does it want to do that? It wants you to resort to the instinct of the lower chakras, the instinct of survival, to do anything. There are many evil people that are doing many evil things, and trust me, they are breaking laws. That we are in a time of lawlessness, where the laws that they wrote, they break. Don't think that if you're going to court and that, you know, the laws will protect you, because the laws are not even there to protect you anymore. Now, I know we have the queue open. I hope we still have. Is that correct me, Wes? Do we still have the queue? I wanted to make sure tonight that we're moving close to this time, but I did want to talk about the Macabre event. I want to tell people that we do have a Macabre Activation Ring of Fire prayer wheel that you can be a part of, and it only requires you to give 12 minutes a day. Now, hopefully you spend 12 minutes a day in prayer if you are a religious person in meditation. I think that's something I can't, again, say what is good for you or what is bad for you, but it is a common practice that at least 12 minutes a day, we have a prayer wheel where we come together to bring our collective candles, our light, and we place them together. And the more of us that come together, those candles now become a great city that set a light up on a hill, as the Bible says, and cannot be hid. But a city is the collected light of individual candles. So we encourage people to join this prayer wheel, where we simply do not infuse our will or intent with projections about what we want. We simply infuse it with thought and prayer vibrational names. Names like, let me give you some religious names. The Lord will provide. Yahweh, Yahweh. Names, provisions. Names like Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, who controls everything. Yahweh Sitkanu. Yahweh Roi, which, and Yahweh Rafka, the Lord is my healer. So these vibrational names that carry healing, light, assistance, help, and relief is what we use in this prayer wheel. These vibrations that bring positive to bring about into application what Dr. Blair has just mentioned a moment ago, to think on the good things. Is there anyone else in the queue before we leave the radio? Is there anyone there, Midwest? Are you there?
No.
Midwest?
Yes, sir.
Is there anyone in the queue? I can't hear you. Midwest, are you there? Hello? I guess Midwest must have...
Okay, I'm back. I'm back. Okay. My keypad's doing weird things. No, there's no one else in the queue, sir.
Okay, there's no one else in the queue. All right. Well, I raised a question at the beginning of the hour about religion and politics. And this is simply to raise your consciousness and to stimulate, can religion and politics inside of a culture be separated? If it can, let's find an example of it. And maybe I should give clarity to what I'm really talking about, so that you will totally understand. Inside of Islam, let's use Islam for an example. We could use all religions, but inside of Islam, Islam is both a religion, but yet it has a body politic that carries out a political agenda. And this is the meaning of the word jihad, which means holy war, which means religion and politics. Let's take Judaism or Zionism. Zionism is a religion, but yet Zionism has at its root the preservation of the state of Israel. It has a political agenda. So can we separate in our society, is there any religion that separates religion and politics? So far, we've identified two. And both of those two have a religious, but yet a political agenda that is built inside of it. What about Christianity? Anyone wants to take a stab and whether or not there is a political agenda inside of the religion of Christianity. I yield to the floor. I yield to those of you who are in the audience, if you would like to take a stab at what I said. Dawood, Malcolm, Malkuth, and any of you who are out there, Paul, or any of you, would you like to talk about that? Come on in the queue. Anyone?
Paul, would you like to speak to that?
You all are very quiet tonight. Did you hear Dr. Blair talk about Saturday?
Well, that's what I'm saying again. People are feeling the energies that are transpiring now.
Yeah.
They have all this stuff about Ebola, which doesn't exist, and we do have things, like we've done a study, I told you, monatomic gold-making people have two products out now. And if anything can ever save you from any of the stuff they're doing, and what they're doing, they're poisoning people and lying and creating mass hysteria. You know why they're doing that? Because they don't want you to understand what's happening in our solar system. They're scared stiff. Why do you think that rocket blew up the other day? It was carrying not only there, but sun-scoping things, because the sun is changing energies. Whoever it was blew that damn thing up before it even took off. Everything is happening around. We can't see if we're looking. And we can't see because of this disguise that All Hallows Eve is bringing to us. There is a huge change happening as we speak. They hear this again. They have not seen in thousands of years the energy that this sun is putting out. It's going to kill people. It's going to awaken people. And for the people that are good, it's going to give them that courage and that in an immune system to finally get past that, because it's directed at these daggone Dracons and the Illuminati that serve them. That's why you're going to see politicians making a lot of mistakes. They're going to start making lies on television, and they're going to forget what they're saying. This is a time for transpiring into higher consciousness. They don't want you to understand what's happening with this comet that already has hit Mars. There's been a big explosion on Mars.
Yes.
That comet is expecting. None of this is being covered. None of this other stuff is. It doesn't make any sense what is being said unless you understand what is happening now. This is a time of great peace.
Dr. Blair, they're under the sedative and the anesthesia of news, and people believe what they are hearing in these churches, and they have no concept or interest.
Well, there's interest. They just don't know where to go for information. And 2579 and Fox are never going to give you information. They're going to give you training.
How can some of the people get some of the information that you're sharing? What are some of the possible outlets for information that you give?
What I'm asking again, if you call the number 708-422-6685, we will be able to give you the directions for the code, because we didn't get it together. I've been so busy studying and trying to save people's lives and all from these crazy things that they're doing. And keep in mind, you don't want any. I don't think you should have any of those blank-de-blank shots that they're giving, any of these vaccines.
No.
And there's no such thing as Ebola. There is such thing as poisoning people in their minds and in their bodies. When you take these shots that they're giving you, when you do these things they're telling you, you're going to be sick, because the body is trying to purify, the spirit is trying to go to the higher vibrations of the sun, and here you put in poisons and low-down vampire things and all like this. The two cannot coexist.
Gentlemen,
well,
I'd like to
Just one moment. I need to say something very important here in the West, if you don't mind. Saturday sounds like an urgency. It sounds like an urgent message. I hear urgency in Dr. Blair's voice, tone, the cadence, tempo, and of his tone now is different from what I've ever heard. I hear an urgency. Now, he has mentioned the product that I do take, which is monatomic gold, and I do take Ether One Black and a couple of other things. For those of you who do not have time to get that by Saturday, let me say this to you. I know a couple of principles that can help you to begin to absorb this extra energy that's coming. I know a couple of things. I only get the privilege of sharing with Midwest and some of the other people that I talk with daily. My wife, she knows a couple of principles in. She didn't exactly laugh at me, but she laughed. She didn't laugh at what I was doing, but she laughed at the fact of the way that it looked. But I do know a couple of principles that can help you to absorb this energy, to absorb this energy. I'd like to share those with you, for those of you that would like to know. Of course, when the student is ready, the teacher will show. But here's my number. In case you want, don't have time, I do recommend that you do get the gold, that you do get the black, because I take it myself. But there are some other things that you can do in the interim to help you to absorb these energies, because you have to absorb them. Not only absorb them, they have to be regulated in your temple, in your body. They have to be properly distributed to your organs so that your organs don't blow, you don't stroke out, you don't have a heart attack, you don't have an aneurysm. He did say people were going to die. This is not a fear message. This is a hope message. I know a few practical things that you can do right away that will help you. And my number is 510-915-2410. There are some ancient techniques that come out of Kemet that I can share with you that are so very practical that will help you to absorb, and not only absorb, but decode this energy and distribute this energy inside of your temple. And it has been a great night tonight. We're about 3 minutes, and I think Aladja had some message or announcement that she wanted to make. And just as she comes, I want to leave her the last moments or so of this broadcast, because I feel she has some urgent announcements or words for us. Just before she comes, I would just like to say to you that this is a positive outlook, and don't allow the pressures that they're trying to place on you cause you mental or emotional distress or distress. Do not stay in a calm place. Dream. Go to your dream state. Use a component of your being, imagination. Dream. Move above the matrix of the pain. Think of another world. This is good news from another world. I'm a good news reporter. I am part of the divine truth matrix. Midwest, take it away.
I just basically wanted to say that 2 days ago on a national radio station, they were talking about that all across this country, there was only one case of Ebola now, one. And they had been upgraded to stable. So they were that individual was going to make it. So it's all hype. It's just illusion and lies. And then I would like to invite everyone Sunday evening at 5 o'clock Central to the Denar Truth Matrix number, which is 605-562-3140 and 737-165. Pound, I know I'm saying that fast. But we're going to be putting the prayer wheel together again, and we need everyone that was in the wheel before 2 weeks ago. If you guys would all please come to that meeting so we can start the prayer wheel again.